Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul of the channel. Sports in Depth with the show. And once again, we're live from the Laser Brazil, the capital of CI, the state of CI here, 250 miles away from the equator. But we open the good of Bimbo. Thank you for another day. Playing on your name, and thank you, Myriad Dollars to Jesus for. There's another day, and there's no way to be ours. We thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. And more important than that, the Lord, we ask you that your way be our way. And that man once said, although we do not live on clock out, by the grace of God, we don't live on a clock bench. Let your way be our way. And more important is, Lord, you are God all by yourself. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blink, with the Network Rainbow, so the channel Sports and Depth with the show, and getting the crew to come on in here. Big football game last night. Watching that Detroit Lions game, and we just saw the whole complexion of that game change. If I'm correct, I don't believe that New Orleans punted the entire game. I mean, they did dominate possession of the ball, but at one time, it was a very small difference in the score. It was 24-21, and they had so much dominance. And a lot of times that can backfire on you. You dominating the time and yet not dominating the scoreboard. But what happened in time was that the Saints did dominate the Detroit had a chance to intercept, didn't intercept. New Orleans scored, then they intercept, and then it turned away from being a football game to being a rout. And the time possession seemed so overwhelming at that particular time, but it really was a situation where the Lions had a chance to really turn that football game around, and they didn't. Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake, but they never rainbow saw the channel. That we show you. This is a very big month of birthdays. And
Super Doc, what
are you
doing?
African, just tie the mule up and calm down. Okay? It's time to, you know, I know you.
The mule is in City Field with the Giants.
Dusty, I'm going to tell you something, you know, and it's something that me and you. Really happy about, because you know we have a personal relationship and a friendship with Jerry Reese, and I'll never forget, because you always forget, but I never forget really. remember Dusty? We were then with SCL FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, and the heartbeat of Big Apple, New York City, and heartbeat of New York. I remember we called his hotel room, and we didn't get him. And
absolutely.
He called us back.
Wow. That was a perfect gentleman.
And it was the year that they were going to play against New England.
Absolutely.
You know, the undefeated, powerful New England. And his first year. And they turned down and won the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's You know, I remember that great line, Bill Boston Celtics, you know, it doesn't matter who starts the game, who ends the game. And the team, and the Giants, again, are showing signs of being frightening. They've lost games that they should have lost, but playing at the right time, I mean, there was no question in my mind they were going to beat Dallas. They won the division.
Yeah, go ahead.
And now
ahead. I was going to ask something.
But it's like when they win the Super Bowl, they just started playing so well at the right time. And, you know, they won a very good football game today.
My dear Doc, I've been meaning to tell you this for the longest time. Since or one year before that, I noticed that the Giants in the last three or four games of the season always seemed to gel and put everything together. Exhibit A in any court of law was the day they won the soup. They were wild cards, and this is the first time that a wild card team has won the soup. And they lost to the Patriots in the last game of the season. Patriots are 18-0, but they won the psychological game. One. Number two, Jerry Reese. Who's Jerry Reese? He's been with the system for 15 years. They were going to appoint somebody else outside until somebody in the Mara family
said
no.
He was too young.
Too young, too inexperienced. He didn't know what he was doing, yet he toiled for 15 freaking years as the assistant manager. And here, when he came in, he started cleaning house. He got rid of the Sharkies and the malcontents and the non-performers. And I said, who is he to be doing this? And yet, look what he got. Of course, remember that there was the criticism when they started losing and looking bad. I said, well, see, that Jerry Reese don't know. Reese doesn't know what the heck he's doing. And yet, nobody gave him credit for leading those monsters, those misfits, into beating New England. Everybody kept saying 19-0, and look what they did to New England. They demoralized New England. But nobody went out there and said, man, Jerry Reese, man, you did a great job. But the man is a terrific, and this is what I'm seeing today. I was in the middle of between the two. I said, well, this is a pick'em game, like a pick'em fight. I mean, whoever shows up better is going to win. And sure enough, the Giants, they got their act together. And if you think that they're not going to beat Green Bay next week, you're out of your mind. Because remember, they fought Green Bay, they only lost by, what was it, a field goal or something the last time? They held them.
You know, for all intents and purposes, if you remember that game, and like I said, you know, I know you have those memory lapses.
What's my name?
Doc, T-Wing's checking in.
How you doing?
But hold on, because Dustin, you remember. And you do too, see, when you come on this, you know, they came down this, because, you know, one thing about Green Bay, you know, Green Bay, they'll score 40 points, but their offense will give you 36, 37. And that particular game, not only had the Giants tied the football game up, the Seawings, remember, they tied the football game up on a 2-point conversion. Remember that?
A 2-point conversion, I'm telling you. And For New England to win by 3 points is a testimony to the fact that the Giants had gotten their act together.
The Giants have lost. The Giants always lose games. And we're going to go to Stevens, who was there. They've always lost games in the course of the season that they should have won. They should have won the Philadelphia game. They should have won the Green Bay game. But Stevens, you know, you've got this is your second chance seeing the Giants, but this is your first time seeing them in their element, you know, home game, all Giant crowd. What impressions did you get today? What did you like, and just how good is this football team?
Well, at first, the mood in the press box up there, and even with the crowd, we thought we were watching a Jets game there that, you know, they started off very conservative. It seemed like Manning was, you know, he was kind of, you know, cold in the beginning.
Tentative.
He wasn't warmed up, but I don't know what Coughlin said and what they said at halftime, but they came out and they exploded in the second half. Manning threw for three touchdowns in the game. Hakeem Nicks, because they shut down Victor Cruz. But then they open up the passing game for Hakeem Nicks and everyone else, and they just picked the Atlanta Falcons apart. I mean, 24-2, they were better off not even taking the 2 points for the I mean, it was terrible. I'd rather take zero than two. 2 points. But the defense, they played basically, I would think they played better than the year they won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And, I mean, everyone, see, I think this year the teams that are going to make it to the Super Bowl are not the teams like Green Bay with these big records. It's going to be teams that are 9-7, 10-6. I mean, that's just the way this league is going this year. But the Giants.
You know what happens, see, when you're starting to sound like Dusty, and I'm worried about this Ouija board down on the street kind of stuff. I mean,
you look at Pittsburgh, they're losing. And I told Hoops last week.
Yeah, they're losing
20. I told them last week they will lose.
Yeah. But, you know,
question, were you able to catch Lady A?
She's very under the weather. I called her, but she's been sick the past couple of days.
Okay.
At the bell.
All right, listen. Dusty, do you have Mel Smith's number?
Who?
Rooney.
Who? I mean, I'm sorry. Do I have whose number?
Mel Smith, Rooney.
No, I don't. He's called me, but I never got his number. But
yeah, if anywhere you can ride out real quick and try to get a hold of Hoopster and Dusty, what I need you to do is to
I got a
drop
hold
out.
Of Hoopster on the call in, so he might be silent. I don't know. They have to look on the board. Because I told him to call
Hey, listen. Don't be telling me to look on the board. This ain't Dusty. I can read. I can see.
I think he's rubbing off on me.
I tell you,
this game today, and you have to give a lot of credit to the fans, too. And when I spoke to Tom Coughlin, I asked him that, what he wanted to say to the crowd of, it was 79,909. And
wow.
I think there was 79,907 Giants fans and two Atlanta Falcons fans there. But I tell you,
Rudy.
I mean, Jimmy, you said it was too loud. So in other words, Dusty was there with his wife?
That's right. I like the Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, to be successful, to go to the Super Bowl, it's not what you've done during the year. It's the time. It's timing. When do you get hot and get hot at the right time?
Absolutely.
That's all it's about.
Exactly.
I mean, look at New England. I mean, they went undefeated in the season all the way through up until the Super Bowl.
90,
and they just what they had an off game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, did you see the Sports Illustrated where they predicted who would go to the Super Bowl? My son got that, and I'm looking at it, and they're having New England against New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Somewhere along the line, the Giants get eliminated. I forgot what team eliminates them. Man, I wish I could find out. I could tell you guys which one. But they don't see the Giants getting to the Super Bowl. And I think somebody made a mistake because these guys are awesome, you know. And it's amazing, you know. Well, as we're talking, I'm going to try to look for it, man, because of the fact that it's worth talking about.
I think that New Orleans is a better team than Green Bay. I mean, when you have your backup quarterback putting up over 400 yards, that's scary. Your backup quarterback? That was Green Bay.
New Orleans yesterday, it was Doc Stanley Sports Desk on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Desk show. Dusty, I thought I had sent you a list of all those names, but you know, when you're using that Cracker Jack computer, I can understand it. But, Dusty still has a telegram. What are you talking about?
I still have Paul Revere. What are you talking about, man?
Well, hey, You got the opposite. But you know, on last night's game, two things were really startling. The time consumption was big, but it was a 24-21 game. And I said, well, wow, you know, they dominate the time. But what happened was that we were in the fourth quarter, and New Orleans hadn't even played the football, played the football all game. And then they turned the game around. Detroit had a chance for an INT, didn't get it. New Orleans went in and then came back the other way on defense, came up with a defensive play, and they're the kind of team, like you said, could be tough. And we talked about that earlier before you got on Steve Wings. It's that great line from the old Boston Celtics. And it doesn't matter who starts the game, who finishes the game. And here, it doesn't matter who starts off well, it's about who ends up well. And injuries are such a key part to this whole situation. I'm trying to put it on get a wound a bit. But we'll get Hoops in here real quick. And Hoops, we're glad to have you back. And real quickly before I move on, you know, this is a very big month in our opening. I mentioned two names. You know, the 17th of this month, Muhammad Ali, sir, has another birthday. As we know, the 15th is Dr. King's birthday, and other fighters, Bernard Hopkins was 15th. Roy Jones Jr. 60, Ali and Buddy McGirt on the 17th, also a guy who was a hell of a fighter, just didn't get the opportunity, the senior baby Lois, 24. And there are two big names this month that we have to talk about.
Nothing, not good at all.
And what I want to do, I want to start with you, Hoopster, and then we're going to jump to Dusty and Siemens. But your thoughts, as we move toward January, Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. Your thoughts about Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson as their birthdays come up again?
Well,
we'll see.
Doc, Seawings, I think that they were, in their time, they were the equivalent to Mike Tyson. They changed the face of the game, not only as a game, but they also made statements as far as social conditions as well. I mean, you look at Jackie Robinson, he helped break the color barrier. I mean, he was a pioneer in the struggle for civil rights years, I believe, before, you know, really Dr. King became bigger. I mean, the endurance, the threats that he had to put up with each time that he went to the plate, that he played the game. I think he was definitely a pioneer. He was a godsend to the sport. He helped pave the way for not only African-American players, I think Asian players years later, Hispanic players, really for the minority players overall. And he has his wife is a lovely person. They complimented each other. He really contributed just more than just being a sports player. It was much bigger than Jackie Robinson, the baseball player. And when you look at
Hey, Doc, Hooster's on the line. Hey, Doc. Hey, y'all.
Hey, Hooster, I asked you half an hour ago to, but it seems like you got this Kobe Bryant thing now, you know what I mean?
I was there. Y'all was talking. I was on there. I was in there. Ain't no Kobe Bryant. I ain't got his money, man.
Hooster, we're talking about Jackie Robinson now, then we'll come back, Ali. Two-wing started. You know, your thoughts of Jackie Robinson, and who people forget was an outstanding basketball player, the great Larry Hardesty, who opens our show here, greatest African-American sportscast in history of radio, said it had a autobiography about Jackie, and the gentleman said, you know, people forget that Jackie Robinson at his time was the Michael Jordan below three. So your thoughts about Jackie Robinson?
He was the greatest baseball player of all time, period. But my mom's favorite player too. You know that. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, number 42.
Because he ran track too, you know, Doc. He ran track too.
Oh, yeah,
he was
all
around.
He was all around athlete.
Yeah, three letter man.
First four letter man in the history of UCLA track, baseball, football, and basketball was the sport that he was the worst at. And I mean, I remember Duke Snyder, who was a devout Jackie Robinson fan, because they're both West Coast guys. And he said he remembered Jackie in a game at UCLA, leaving the baseball field, running over to the track field, doing the broad jump, and coming on back after winning and to continue playing the baseball game. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel. Sports Depth is the show. Lucille Baby Lois is back in house. C Wings is here, and the Hoopster. And Dusty, your thoughts on the man who's 7 days after yours, Jack Roosevelt Robinson.
Well, you know, Jackie was, if I could segue into another sport, was the Jack Johnson of baseball, man. The only thing is that his emotionality and what he had to endure, unlike Jack Johnson, made him very sick. And that's what deteriorated his health. But other than that, he endured. He broke the doors off the hinges. And I think Seawee said it, for minority ball players to come in and play a sport that was denied of them. You know, the man had to take by condition, by order. He had to absorb all. I don't think if I had been Jackie Robinson, I would have put up with the crap that he had to put up with. And believe you me, I don't think I would have lasted one game. You pitched close to my head, you wouldn't have an arm anymore. But unfortunately,
wow.
Jackie Robinson had to endure all that to break the color line, to endure and be the person that he was. But it had a toll on his health and his life. Remember, his son felt abandoned. There was no father and son communique, in a sense. And just when finally he was able to relieve a sigh of relief and his son got his life together, his son was killed himself in a car accident, I think it was, or something like that. And
yeah.
That took a toll of him. And that was a sad legacy of a Jackie Robinson. But then again, we hold him on a pedestal because look what he did for us. You know, comparisons. You got Obama, and I'm going to make a comparison here. We used to go to grade school and talk to kids about becoming what they want to do, this, that, and the other, and how they could achieve. And I remember teachers, white teachers, talking to Timmy Johnson, a black boy, is, oh, you know, you're so great. You know, Timmy, you can also be president of the United States. But you know in the back of your mind that there was a cinder block wall preventing that from happening. Now, today, 2012, 2011, 2010, one person, just like Jackie, broke down the doors of the White House, took the hinges off the freaking door, and now he's in place. So this is exactly, in a sense, what Jackie did. With Obama getting in there, that means all these youngsters of color saying, wow, if he can do it, maybe 20, 30 years from now, I can do it. And that's exactly what Jackie, the legacy.
You know, Dusty, you bring up 2 points here, Dusty. You bring up 2 points, and you know, I was laughing when you talked about you couldn't have lasted the game. Monty Irvin was the first guy I actually looked at, and Harvey Farmer, who will be back with us when I get back to USA, you know, he's a close friend of Monty, and Monty told him he couldn't have did it, Dusty. Monty Irvin said, I'd have killed somebody. And then you said something about Obama. My good friend, international promoter, Desio Cotomasso Jr., who's now living in Fortaleza, and he said something that you just said, and like I said, this becomes very frightening that I continue these preaching with you type of stuff, you know. But
it's a long-distance love relationship. That's what it is, right?
I had a lunacy. But you know, what he said is what you said about Obama. And he said he was in San Paulo, and a kid, he had read or he had met a couple of kids who said that, you know, with Obama becoming the president of the United States of America, I have a chance to become the president of Brazil. And I don't think people
there
understand
you go.
I don't think people understand C. Wings, Hoopster, and Dusty, you know, what Jackie Robinson went through. I mean, the simplicity of playing a game and get your life was, and the great Hal Jackson told in his autobiography, said, you know, there was a time that Jackie seriously thought about quitting. And Larry Hardesty had one of Jackie's roommates on his show, and he told Jackie, you know, Jackie, when you go to the white leagues, you know, it's going to be better for you because there's certain things they can't do that we can do. Yeah, they're going to throw at you, but it's not going to be like down here. And they don't throw spitballs. There's certain rules and regulations that are going to be advantageous to allow you to play the game and get the opportunity. Jackie was the first ever rookie of the year in 1947. Of course, the first black player, African-American Negro, to win the MVP and the batting championship in 1949. And the two of Jackie's greatest lines, and one of them is, you know, a life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. And then he has another great line that talks about his idea about playing. Jackie said, I will never forget this, Dusty and the G-Wings and the Hoopster. I'm sitting in the third base photo box at Shea Stadium, and they're putting up quotes of famous people, and they put up this quote from Jackie Robinson, and boy, you got to love it. It said, above all else, I hate to lose.
Wow.
Above Jackie, all else,
hey, Doc.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, the Mets do something for Jackie Robinson, too. They wear his uniform. 42 on the field,
the whole league does that on April 15th. Remember, Jackie. And, you know, my thing is that is all well and done, but Jackie's gone. I mean, you know, what Jackie needed to see was some black managers. Jackie needed to see some more black businesses.
We had Frank Robinson, so that was good. Yeah, Frank Robinson, right?
Frank. But you know what the point is? You know what? It's so uncommon that we can name the black man. I mean, how does a guy like Cito Gaston, I was talking to Greg the other day, win two back-to-back world championships? He's not managing. If he was a white manager, he'd have a job for the rest of his life. I mean, look at Girardi, and you talked about that last week, Dustin, and then again, don't think I'm agreeing with you. But you talked about that, and we talked about it. Here's a guy who won manager of the year. He won manager of the year with after being fired, after managing the team with a winning record, and he won manager of the year, and now he's the manager of the Yankees.
Exactly.
Only in America. Gentlemen, hold tight. We're going to, not break time. Yeah, you know what? Maybe we'll take a quick break. You don't want to come back and your thoughts and opinions. I got to try to find, I don't know, get Rooney's number. Want him to join us. We didn't have time to get everybody in. In the background, it's Stanley Turner with the World Next Down. It's Love, Sweet Love. It's Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blake Media Network, main folks over the channel. Sports and Depth, and it's show live. Before the days of Brazil, as you know, January is the birthday month of Chicago. Also, that of Jack.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
In the background, I'm playing some of that tremendous film score we did when we did that special on Brazil. As you know, Fox County Sports Desk on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Desk show with Lost Seaweed, broadcasting live from Fort Lake, Brazil in 2014, which is 2 years from now. They will host the World Cup. As you know, no team has won the World Cup more than Brazil. They've won the 5 World Cups. They have the man unquestionably considered the greatest futsal of all time in Pelé, and they will host the games in 2014. Ironically, the last time they hosted the World Cup, they lost 1-0 to Paraguay, who is the first country ever to win the World Cup. And they lost to Paraguay, and they lost to Paraguay 1-0 in Rio, so at that time, the first capital, which is really like our city. That's where your high conference. The colors come from that city and high distance play. The second capital is Janeiro, which is the Asian field in Janeiro. And now the capital is built in Brasilia. We're going to start with you, Jesse, former. Standing by yourself. You know, this month is also the birthday of all the service of the Richard Fairfield Space Center. Your thoughts and reflections on the great Muhammad Ali?
Well, Muhammad Ali was a gentleman or a pioneer who, you know, you got to look at things in a proper perspective. Every one of them, Jackie Robinson, the Jack Johnson, the Muhammad Ali's, had to go through a crisis in their lives to overcome. Does that make sense? They had to go through some suffering, some denial, some abuse, some treachery, some backstabbing for them to overcome and be what they initially, prior to the crisis, they really were. You know, I looked at Muhammad Ali being very critical of fighters. I said, this guy, man, this guy don't know how to fight. This guy. But he came at the time when he changed the mold of a heavyweight. Heavyweight in those times, including the Joe Louis, were plotters, slow-footed dudes who could just walk into you and move this, that, and the other. Muhammad Ali was a Fred Astaire. He danced. With all that 200 and some odd pounds, he danced where the other dudes couldn't dance at all and was successful in the way he fought. They couldn't touch him. He was too fast. He was brash. And then on top of that, he was brash. He was confident of his ability. And he was able to, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, psychologize the confidence away from his opponents and beat him. And this is what made him so great. And when he stood up, there's always been a mystery to me as to whether the denial, refusal of going into the military was more Muslim-induced or by himself. You see, there was always
That was him. What it was... because I remember my father, you know, because people, you know, were questioning his whole thing, you know, why is he not going? He's not going to have a problem. But it was his deep, Jim Brown, I think I've been redundant, you know, Jim Brown talked about that him, Bill Russell, Bobby Mitchell, Lou Alcindor, at the time, they called Ali in. And they said, hey, look, man, you know, you would get in trouble behind this thing, man. You're not going to go on the front lines. And Ali said, "Hey, man, this ain't about me, man. This is about two things. This is my religious beliefs, and I can't go in." He said, "Because now, if I go in, Dusty's going to go in. Doctor's going to go in. If I go in, I got some juice here. And the thing about it, they're going to go on the front line and get killed." The Muslims had no problem with him going in, but they themselves didn't understand his conviction. Jim Brown said, you know, his conviction was so sincere and so deep, man, that after a while we had to stop because he was going to convert us.
Right. No, I can understand what you're saying, but this is the direction that I was going. But anyway, because you got Joe Louis to go in, and he was only public relations, and to get everybody to buy war bonds and this, that, and the other. I don't think he was involved with the recruiting, but Muhammad Ali just had his real idea, realistic ideas that, yes, well, if I go in, kids will follow me, and I don't want them to follow me. And besides, I don't have anything against those people. Why should I fight them? That's the same way I, Doc, you don't believe it. This is the same way I fought when I went in Korea, man. Why should I be fighting these dudes, man? My war is in New York City, man. You know, so why should I go in there? But the fact of the matter is that, yes, he held strong. I took the oath. I went in, I served, but so that was the difference. But the fact that I don't hold it against him, and he had a lot of conviction in what he said, and he took the heat. That's the thing. That's what makes some people stand out over others. They took the heat that was coming at them because they refused to follow a certain common standard, and that's what I'm saying. You see? Whether it was influential from the Muslims or whomever, that's what I still don't know the answer to. But he stood his ground. And the 3 years that he lost was criminal. It was not fair. Because you had the Jack Dempseys, who was the draft dodger. You had the Rocky Grazianos, who went AWOL. You had two or three other guys. And yet they were allowed to make a living, become world champs, and every way you turn around, you went to the Jack Dempsey restaurant. Oh, man, the great Jack Dempsey. He was a freaking draft dodger, man. So what are we talking about? You see what I'm saying?
You bring up two tremendous points, because first of all, he wouldn't fight a black fighter, but Dempsey was heavyweight champ of the world and didn't fight for 3 years. And you bring up a point here. Once again, as we talk about, it's amazing the segue that you led us into. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. C-Wings is here, the Hoops is here, and Dempsey. And, you know, because you talked about Ali taking that heat. I remember me and Butch Lewis one time, we had an affair, and they started playing George Benson's Greatest Love of All. I said, Butch, who does that remind you of? And he answered the question like, come on, man, Ali. And Dr. King's birthday this month, too. Of course, Al Jackson was the man that pushed that whole move to get it done. And I know Dr. King has some things that are really, and you look at how Ali never really held that against anybody. Dr. King says, life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And Ali was thinking about others. And he also has the Given That Occasion Act with a permanent state of mind. And the one that came to my mind right away when you started talking about Ali's legacy was that Dr. King said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of company convenience, but where he stands in times of trial and controversy. That was Ali.
Exactly.
That was Ali.
Exactly. Trial and controversy and the punishment that he had to go through unjustifiably because he believed in something. You have to be part of, you have to be part of the total package to follow suit because everybody else was doing it. I remember, I don't know if it's apropos, but I remember Eldridge Cleaver, the Black Panthers, and I read his book, Soul on Ice.
Soul on Ice.
Yeah, right. And he said, you're either part of the problem, or part of the solution. You can't sit on the fence. So Ali says, no, it's true. And I'm not going to sit on the fence. I am going to do what I feel is correct for me. I'm not telling anybody else to follow me. I am telling you what I will not do because I don't believe in it. You see? So he was punished for that. And the fact of the matter is that he survived, well, I put that in quotations, he survived that dilemma and became Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champ. You know, remember how he was still being punished when Joe Frazier beat him in the Madison Square Garden. Oh, the whole conglomerate was delirious that this upstart, that this draft dodger, that this criminal was beaten to a pulp. You know, and people always still believe that this was a well-deserved thing. It just so happens that Joe Frazier happened to have, I don't know what, fought him better or caught him with that lucky left hook in the 15th round, whatever the heck it was. But the fact of the matter is that people were rooting for him to get whipped, and they were happy. But the fact of the matter is that he proved to them that you have to stand up for your beliefs, and that's what made him, what everybody calls him, the greatest, to stand up for your beliefs. And this is why he's so well loved and whatever the heck it is. Sure, you may question some of the things he does. Sure, you may question some of the things he said. I'm still a little off the fence by beating up on poor Joe Frazier, but that's his demons to deal with, you know. But the fact of the matter is that he stood up to the powers that be and said, no, not me. I ain't going. I'm not going to do this. I don't believe in this. You know, how many guys, Doc, I don't know if you go back to the time I got drafted, back in 57, I got my token, one-way token, is a report to 39 Whitehall Street. I said, I ain't going to that stupid army, you know. But the fact of the matter is that we all had to go down there, and those who will step and fight their country, step forward and take the oath of office, you know. So, of course, I stepped forward and took the oath of office. And I was, you're now soldiers, blah, 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 you know. But Muhammad Ali did not believe in that man, you know. So you have to give the man credit for standing up to a powerful government who, hook, line, and sinker, was going to bury you. So what I think about him, I think the man had guts, conviction, and this is what makes him, you know, it's unfortunate that however he incurred this illness, that he is not in full health to be able to be a spokesman, able to articulate now until 2012 and 2011 why he did what he did, you know, even though he explained it many times before. You know, now he's a figure, people talk to him, they listen to him, and they admire him and all that, but he's not, you know, how should I say, he's not able to articulate.
He's not the same personality, he's not the same guy that we've done yesteryear. Hoopster, now, you talked about Jackie, and your thoughts on Muhammad Ali, former Cassius Clay.
Well, I say about Muhammad Ali, for a guy his size, 6'3", it's fast and quick, and standing on his feet for 15 rounds, he was amazing.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say. He was very fast. He had fast hands. You know he's going to hit you. He's very fast for a guy his size. And he's going 15 rounds.
The Sixers are playing pretty good basketball. Your thoughts on them, and give us the latest insight on what's happening in the world of basketball.
Well, so far the Knicks, they started that rookie point guard from Georgia Tech. They're looking pretty good, so we'll see what happens. And it's still the same thing. The Clippers are looking good so far, and LeBron James is like on a tear right now. He started scoring like 22 points in the first half. Like, wow. But he should be doing that in the playoffs instead of regular season. He always do that to the playoffs. He just disappears. You know what I mean?
So you're saying there's no question that he may be a better player, but Kobe's a better playoff player?
Period. Yes. Definitely.
Oh, wow.
Why is that?
Kobe been there before. LeBron James never been there before. Kobe been there. Especially he was there with Shaquille O'Neal. So Kobe got more experience than LeBron James. That's definitely. Everybody would agree with that. And plus, Kobe's a pressure player also. And plus, Kobe plays hurt too, so.
So LeBron won't play hurt?
Nope, he didn't play. The other day, he hurt his ankle. He didn't play.
Yeah, but now, but in a case like that, so who's saying, we talked about the last week, and Dustin, you were here too. I mean, we talked about how Grant Hill played hurt and his career. I mean, you know, you got to be at 100%. I mean, it's I mean, we're going to say Kobe playing hurt. I got to say Kobe is not playing too hurt, but, I mean, you can't – I mean, understand that Kobe Bryant, LeBron James at 50% is better than the average guy, 100%. But, I mean, you look at Grant Hill. He was a guy who was a bona fide Hall of Famer, played hurt, had never been the same. I remember the great Oscar Robertson and Tiny Archibald. I remember Oscar in a game against the Knicks, and he said, hey, man, he wasn't 100%, he wasn't coming back. Tiny, the same thing. So, right. I mean, we can salute Kobe for playing hurt, but can't that be sort of a situation that could turn around and you know, hurt you? I mean, and Grant Hill.
His career.
Yeah, it's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Who's going to answer?
Go ahead.
You know, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the overall sports, you're being paid buku bucks, a king's ransom, to play or perform. Sometimes the pressure is on you to, although hurt, you know, to play because of the fact that you're paid and the bosses expect you to go out there and play. But then again, what the bosses with the open checkbook don't realize is the fact that that minor injury could become a season-ending or career-ending injury, you know, and you're forced to play. Now, I don't know what's Kobe Bryant's mindset, you know, about, look, I'm going to play anyway, ego, or he has to be in the front line all the time. But, you know, this is why you have a team and you have backups. You rest up because you're injured. Now, let's look at the Giants today. Kiwanuka, Justin, Bradshaw, Jacobs. There was another guy, I think Boss or Baird or whatever. Those guys throughout the season were hurt, and they brought in the replacement players to play. Now, they rested enough and healed their wounds enough that if they were not 100%, they were at least 80% healed to be able to play in these important games. That's why there is, you know, a replacement player to give you rest to heal. Now, one thing that I didn't understand was that when you got down to the playoffs or the two or three games before the playoffs, and then you made the playoffs, well, the starters were rested. You know, Green Bay did that, and some other teams did that. In fact, Green Bay did that with a quarterback, 2 weeks ago? And they freaking still won. And the players, including Aaron Rodgers, were well rested now for the playoffs. So getting back to the topic of the subject at hand, the injuries, I mean, I think Grant Hill, God bless him, but I think he could have been a little foolish to play hurt. If LeBron turns around and he's making so many buku bucks, he's thinking in the long run, which I don't blame him, in the long run, hey, this is a long season even though we're only playing 60 games, and then what about the playoffs? I don't want to aggravate, and I don't want to extend this injury because I want to be able to look at the long run. I just missed the NBA title last year. I don't want something to happen where I'm going to miss all of this. So you cannot blame them. You cannot blame a player for saying, I can't play, or the doctor will say, look,
here's a question for you two guys. Hoopsie, you started first. And Dusty, question for you two. How much, then, of Kobe playing hurt Hoopsie is his love for the game, or is it ego?
Both. Both. You're right. Both. But I think it's more ego than love for the game. And I think it's more ego than, because, hey, man, not me. I'm not going to sit down to let somebody play in my position. Heck no. I don't care if I'm hurt. I'm going to take my hand. In fact, he's the one, if you guys remember last week, 2 weeks ago, he's the one that recommended A-Rod to go to Germany for that bloodletting of this, because he did it, so that he can continue playing, because his hands were injured or something to that
knee. His knee.
Oh, his knee, was it? Okay, his knee. So he said, A-Rod, go down into Germany and do this because I did it. You know, so the fact that, and I had no idea this such a procedure existed until I read about it. I'm looking to myself. I'm saying, well, maybe I should have done this, man. I got a bad knee. You know, so it's like they're medically revealing certain things that you're doing so you can continue playing. And I think in Kobe, it's more ego than the injury, even though.
Hoopster, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Okay, Hoopster. Okay. We concurred that LeBron's the better player, Kobe's the better playoff player. Okay, now is Kobe better than Jordan?
No.
Is he close to being as good as Jordan?
No.
Could he?
I'm just saying, being truthful.
Yeah. Could he ever be better than Jordan?
No.
Okay.
You got to put somebody different, then I'll probably say no. But you got to put somebody, you probably say Julius Irving. Not Kobe.
Was Dr. J as good or better than Jordan at one time?
Oh, Dr. J was amazing. Are you kidding me?
Why?
For a guy 6'6", only 200 pounds, he was very strong underneath the basket. A lot of people took him for granted. He was very strong for a 6'6". He was only 200 pounds playing small, playing forward. He was very strong. Mm-hmm. He was very impressive. He can leap, too. You got to give him a lot of credit out there. Doc was the man. Doc was something else.
How good was Larry Bird?
Larry Bird was something else. And he was a talker. You piss him off, it's all over. He'll bust you behind. And he keep talking to you, he'll bust you behind. Larry was good. Larry was something else, too. Especially him and Michael Cooper used to go at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember one time at the three-pointer, all right, who's going to come in second place in 3 points? Who's going to come in second place? I said, wow.
How good Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Shows and Channel, Sports Network, the show, live from Porto Alegre, Brazil, the capital of CRI. We want to apologize, not in the best of health with Lady A. And time set up T-Wings, who caught the big giant win today, and it seems that in a lot of ways the worst team Green Bay needs to be playing right now is the New York Giants, because they're heading there.
It's a born again Giants.
Well, you know, think about that too I'm going to come back to that subject in a minute. I see we got a good turn left. Because I always said when a team, that's a giant, after a big home game like this, and then they go on the road and feeling that they should have won already, you know, the Giants are not the team that Green Bay should be playing. But real quickly, Hoopster,
yes.
A guy that was a great player, smooth, and seemed to be taken for granted a lot, is the great James Worthy. How good was James Worthy?
So, Jammin' James? James Worthy was the most underrated ball player in the NBA. He should have got more credit than he deserved. You know how you hear about him? He's quiet. He does things, you know. Plus, he's from North Carolina, the North Carolina Tar Heels. James was good. Very good player. And plus, he'll post you down low with them spin moves. Also.
Well, but a lot of that too is overshadowed. He's playing with Magic. He's playing with Kareem.
And plus, he's 6'9", and he can handle the ball too. He's bringing the ball up too. He'll bring the ball up too. You know what I mean? James Worthy was very good. He didn't get, you know.
No doubt, he's one of the 50 greatest players.
Oh, definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. And also, Doc, you know, I had I made up a 2011 for the top 10 of the NBA. You all want to hear it?
Oh, yep. Yeah, go ahead. Let's have it.
The 20 most members in the 2011 NBA, he's my top 10. My number 10 was LeBron James coming back to Cleveland. At number 9, Derrick Rose wins the MVP. At number 8, Carmelo Anthony plays for the Knicks.
Okay.
Wow.
Number 7, the Mavericks win their first title. At number 6, the NBA buys the Hornets. At number 5, Phil Jackson retires. At number 4, Shaquille O'Neal retires. Okay. At number three, the Clippers land Chris Paul.
Okay.
All right. And number two, David Stern kills the Lakers there for CP3. And the number one,
okay,
y'all should know the number one, Doc. Y'all should know this one. Y'all ready for number one?
We're ready. We're ready.
Go ahead.
The lockout. That was the number one, the lockout.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. Well, you prove without a question, baby, why you, well, you the man. From the top of the key, never again will it ever be who can run with the hoops. The Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network Show. It was the, could you give that to us one more time?
The top 10? Sure. Okay. Okay, number 10, LeBron James comes to Cleveland. At number 9, Derrick Rose wins the MVP. At number 8, Carmelo Anthony plays for the Knicks. At number 7, the Dallas Mavericks win their first title. At number 6, the NBA buys the Hornets. At number 5, Phil Jackson retires. At number 4, Shaquille O'Neal calls it quits. At number 3, the Clippers land Chris Paul. At number 2, David Stern kills the Lakers deal for Chris Paul. And the number 1 was the lockout.
Wow.
That's what 2011. That's what 2011.
Do you think there's a remote possibility or well, I mean, you know, you like Dusty, you got the Ouija board. You always come with the right answer.
Dusty got all the answers, man. Dusty's the man. It is Mew, right, Dusty?
It is Mew. I mean,
it's Mew. Is Phil Jackson going to come back?
Say that again?
Is Phil Jackson going to come back?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Like I said on the show, I'm going to say it again. He's going to be coaching the Knicks. You watch what I tell you. You heard it live.
Wow.
Sports and Death, Doc Stanley Show. You heard it from me. Just like y'all didn't believe me about the lockout. It almost happened.
Wow.
Phil Jackson will be back. He'll be coaching the Knicks.
Wow.
You can't mark my word.
He has to be doing something like that.
Now, Dusty.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. I think if the Giants beat Green Bay next week, they're going back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, definitely.
Look, let me tell you something. I told you, I think 3 or 4 shows ago, they gave Aaron Rodgers and those Green Bays a hard way to go. The last time they won the Super, they went through Tampa Bay, and then I think they went through the Cowboys. And when they had a fight, Green Bay in Lambeau, in the coldest day of the year, I said, well, Giants, this is it. Thanks for the memories. You're not going to come. What did they do? They destroyed Brett Favre and Green Bay in the coldest day of the year. And here, Justin Tuck walks in there with no sleeves. I said, this guy insane? And then when they played the Patriots in the last game of the season, they may have lost the game, like I said before, but they won the psychological factor. And they knew. That was a study game. So when they played him in the soup, they knew how to beat him. And I feel very strongly. They get past Aaron Rodgers, they're going to win the soup. And like I said, I have the magazine here that shows that they're losing to Green Bay next week. And in the Super Bowl, it shows the Saints beating the Patriots 34-24.
All right.
Yeah, it's an amazing equation here, but...
We gotta get ready to ride out here. Two things here. Dusty said that he read that they were going to lose next week, but I think everybody especially can't read.
Oh, that's right, Dusty. That's right, Dusty. Picked the Giants to lose, didn't you, Dusty? Yes, you did.
Exactly.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. You picked them to lose.
Exactly. I'm glad that I'm wrong.
Hold on.
Well,
don't move.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And picked the news last week with a Philadelphia Giants, not the news.
Wow. We got a new team at the NFL.
The dream team, huh?
Wow.
Hey, Dan, we're going to run here in a minute. We're going to be back next week at this time. It is always so great to be with you. We want to get well wishes to Lady A.
Yeah,
and,
get well. Yeah,
yeah, Lady A,
get
well. Yeah, well wishes. Yeah.
We miss boxing. We gotta bring it back. We can talk boxing. We miss her.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Hoops, one more time before we go. Could you give us that top 10 one more time?
Oh, you like that top 10, huh?
I like
okay.
it,
okay. All right. Number 10, LeBron James returns to Cleveland. At number 9, Derrick Rose wins the MVP. Number 8, Carmelo Anthony is going to play for the Knicks. At number 7, Dallas Mavericks win their first NBA title. Number 6, the NBA buys the Hornets. At number 5, Phil Jackson retires. At number 4, Shaquille O'Neal retires. Number 3, the Clippers land Chris Paul. And number 2, David Stern kills the Laker deal for Chris Paul. And number 1 was the lockout. That's
the
my
lockout.
2011. That's my 2011 for the NBA from the Hoopster.
Wow.
Yep.
OJ says she used to be my girl. Gotta go. Hope you enjoyed the show. Trust in God. See you next week now.